How's it going, Rob?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Not too bad. pretty stoked.
Great. That's what I want to hear.
Absolutely. So.
Were you expecting?
Yeah. Right. We are dead zone. The podcast.
It's great to see that, you know, that everyone seems to be really excited about it. You know, we've had a lot of good reactions to it. So, and the thing is, you know, there's still plenty more to come, and you know, we won't obviously, you know, we won't show everything before launch. So, still some surprises to come.
Well, hopefully we get to hear about some of those surprises coming up on this exciting episode of Dead Zone, the podcast. I'm your host, Brian.
I'm Rick.
And there's Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
I'm Rob.
This is Rob Berman from Mantic Games, who graced us with an interview today to talk a little bit more about a recent announcement called Dead Zone 3rd Edition.
Yay!
Woo! Our listeners are going crazy. Woo, yeah, party, go Rebs. So let's start off with one of the big questions. You know, with third edition, you know, what was kind of the overall goal kind of going into third edition? Because second edition was a really rock solid set of rules. People really, really liked how the system worked. So like with third edition, kind of what was the big driving force? It's like, okay, this is what we want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing was what we didn't want to do is, you know, we know the people that love Dead Zone love Dead Zone. So what we didn't want to do is start really messing around with it and turning it into something really different. Because, like you say, I think first edition was an interesting one. I think there were some people who still really liked first edition, but it was a bit clunky. There were some elements that didn't work. So second edition really streamlined that and made it into a really good playable game. But I think over the years, it was starting to show some of the areas where it needed just a little bit of polish. You know, I think we've been going through on the blogs, you know, things like repetition of words, phrases, and some little bits that just needed ironing out. And I think what we'd had done as well is, obviously, a few years ago, we released Outbreak, which was the supplement, which added a load of stuff. And then we released Escalation, which added a load of even more stuff. And that sort of made that core rule book that you get in the starter set almost, you know, 50% defunct. You know, when you got those rules, a lot of it, I mean, the Veermin, you know, they're almost unrecognizable compared to that version in the book.
Right.
So, actually, originally, actually, when we started talking about it, it was just going to be, okay, well, let's put Escalation, let's kind of smash the books together and, you know, call it Dead Zone 2.5 and be done with it. But then actually we thought, well, there is some stuff that we would like to clean up a little bit more, so it wouldn't just be, you know, making sure all the rules were in one place. And that then led us talking to, okay, well, actually we can do a full, you know, review of the range, new models, new packaging, everything, new art. And that obviously is a third edition. So I think that was sort of the thinking behind it, was to make the game that people know and love, but make it even better.
Absolutely. Which is a great starting point, to be sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good thing. We had a good game to start from in the first place. You know, it wasn't like we had to really significantly rewrite bits. It was just tidying things up and making it so, you know, particularly new players, that they're coming into a really polished game. That they can also grow to love just as much as, you know, you guys and the people who already play it.
Absolutely. New players is always like a tricky balancing act with games with new additions coming out and everything like that. You've got a lot of your diehard fans that have been there for a while, especially with like their understanding of the rules. I think it's come up a couple times where people like don't even have the core rule book out anymore. We just have the supplement like Escalation, and so that can be a barrier for new players. So this I definitely like that idea of really kind of coming back. It's like, okay, we do want to make sure that new players are able to pick up this book or these books, as it were, and to jump into the game, because absolutely, this is a game that we obviously get a lot of enjoyment out of. We love sharing it with the community and bringing more people into the fold, so to speak.
Yeah, and the great thing is, obviously, about a third edition is that compared to a supplement, obviously a supplement's great because it just updates the game, and those existing players might be like, oh cool, they've given this unit, they've given this faction a unit. But what you don't tend to do is you don't tend to get really many new people getting excited about a supplement. Don't. Stores, for example, might be like, oh yeah, okay, we'll take a few. But I think because a new edition is always so kind of momentous, that all of a sudden you get, we're getting people looking at it who maybe have never looked at Dead Zone before, but now they can, or they may have only looked at Dead Zone first edition, for example. And I think, particularly in terms of model quality, Mantic's come a long way since Dead Zone first edition. So I think it's
hell
just,
yeah.
It's just more eyes on the game, and particularly in stores, if we can get it so that people are coming into stores and it's on demo, then fantastic. Because I'm pretty sure that anyone who plays Dead Zone, I mean I guess I would say this, but anyone who plays Dead Zone is going to love it. I think they'll really enjoy it.
Absolutely. And it's a shame that I think the new mini post, you've been doing a number of blogs on the site, and I think the new mini post is actually coming out the day after of our recording. So
yeah,
we are chomping at the bit to see, because the new ones that you guys showed off in the little teaser there, the announcement, I am so excited for the new GCPS, the new Forge Fathers. It looks like some new plague coming along. They're looking sweet.
And I think so what we've done is we've gone and looked at the range and gone, okay, which ones need a little bit of love, which ones need a little bit of extra stuff. So the reason for us doing GCPS and Veermin in the start set, for example, is because Veermin, are a really unique range to Dead Zone and to Firefight. You can't get space rats anywhere else. Mm-hmm. Whereas the GCPS are quite, they're the human faction. They're quite a good touching point for people. They can like, okay, I understand these dudes. They're soldiers. They're going to have to fight these giant space rats. Okay, I get that. So that's why we did Veermin and GCPS in that one. But then what we have done is we spent a long time in the office kind of sitting around and going, okay, well, which sets need a bit of love? And I think one of the overarching plans is to take out some of those models that are a bit tired. So some of the Dead Zone first edition PVCs, and give them a bit of an upgrade. In some cases, resin. In fact, most cases resin. But then obviously, we kind of tease this at the Dead Zone briefing. Hard plastic marauders. Yeah, they're a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is something we've wanted to do for a long time, and I think because that goes hand in hand with Firefight as well, it kind of gives you more confidence. Okay, we're not just going to be using them in Dead Zone. Actually, they will be going as an army in Firefight as well. So that was a big reason, and that gives them a second life. And I think that's another thing as well, is giving some of these models extra lives outside of Dead Zone. You've seen some of the crossover with Overdrive, and you'll see some crossover with Firefight, and even some slight crossover with Kings of War, because I think we really like that. It's a good way to introduce the model range to different people.
That was always a fun thing, like the ability to take your models and bring them into Star Saga, to Firefight, to Warpath, and back and forth and so on. No, that's great. And I've been talking a lot. I know, Rick, you want to say something.
What? Oh, I'm surprised you haven't brought up the Rebs
I was gonna lean into
yet.
it a little bit. I knew the Rebs recently. They're one of the more recent updates that come out with their Star Saga expansion there. So I figured they might be a little bit more on the back burner, but it's great to hear that some of the old first edition models are going to be getting a revisit, since I know most of the Reb line is from that set.
Yeah, Rebs are, I'm not going to lie to you, Brian, Rebs are a really tricky one, because they're, you've got so many PVCs, you've got so many different species. I mean, you're getting the Tigrax in the short term. That's a very cool model, so you can keep yourself happy by painting that up like He-Man. Yeah, I think, when we come to Rebs, that'll be a really interesting one, because it's like, well, what do you do? What would there be there had plastics? And we've talked about, because you don't, at the minute certainly they don't really make sense for firefight, for example, because it's all about guerrilla warfare for them. It's not really about amassing an army or anything. But yeah, I think, it's like, what do you do? Do you do hard plastic sphere, for example, and that becomes the backbone of their army? Or do you try and do one of the mixed sprues, a bit like they did with Stargrave? So I think that's one we'll come to. But I think, yeah, I think the hard plastic marauders are looking like so good, like ridiculously good, and we're only on the test shots at the minute.
I know
And
you.
already, the amount of people in the office that are talking about doing firefight factions and things, which is great.
Oh yeah.
So with the new book and the faction book, is the reason why you went with the faction book and the way the stats are built in there, is that to lead towards firefight?
It's a mix of things, actually. The Forceless book was almost to future-proof us against kind of new stuff in the future, I guess, really. So, as I mentioned earlier, like at the minute, you've got the situation where Escalation and Outbreak updated the core rules so much that, and particularly the unit stats, that probably 60%, 50, 60% of that core rule book was out of date. So we thought, okay, well, look, the core rules are going to remain the same, apart from maybe a little bit of errata or something like that for Dead Zone. What we will be updating maybe annually, maybe every 18 months, is the force lists. And that's because we want to keep adding new stuff to it. So, for example, when we do the Marauders, we'll probably get some new stuff for that one. It'll appear a bit like we did with the Halflings for Kings of War. We'll probably have an online beta list, something like that. And then later on in the year, we'll do an update of the Force List book, which will have all the new Marauders and potentially new stuff in for the other factions as well, if we do that. So, yeah. What's that? Sorry, Richard.
So kind of like the Clash of King books.
Yes. Yeah, very much so. Yeah. And I think that what that shows is that we want to keep on doing updates for Dead Zone well into the future. And I think doing the Force List book really helps us to do that. And yeah, like you say about Firefight, the presentation is quite similar to how the Firefight stats are done. And I think that's one thing that helps with having Andy Sharp has been, really heavily involved, obviously, in both. And so, so me and Matt at Mantic. And we really want, I think the problem before with Firefight was it had gone from Warpath as the main game down to Firefight, instead of Dead Zone as your starting game up to Firefight. So I think if you were a Dead Zone player and you were coming into Firefight, you're a bit like,
I want to
well, this
roll
doesn't,
eights. I want to roll D8s.
yeah, exactly. This doesn't quite feel like the game I'm used to. Even the stats were a bit off. So yeah, I think what we really want to do is we want to make that transition from Dead Zone into Firefight a bit more seamless, and I think that's something that we're seeing at the minute. So that you do, although the rules aren't necessarily the same, there's some terminology that's the same in there, and some stuff you'll feel comfortable with.
And that really smooths over even something as simple as like that visual presentation of stats, definitely smooths over that transition and makes it a lot easier for people to jump up to that next level of firefight, or even like you're saying, kind of going the other way. Maybe they have a lot of firefight models, and you're like, you know what? I want to bring this down from a 4x4 to a 2x2.
And that's it's interesting. Those stats. That's actually where we sort of started when we came to this one. And oh boy, that gave me a headache. Trying to work out a way to display the stats in a way that was still hopefully simple to understand. You know, but it's just so it was so tough. And actually, for the what we went for was that one was we were inspired a bit by Kings of War, because Kings of War has the universal stats. So if you're playing a troop, a regiment, or a horde, let's say, they all move four. They all have a defense of 5+ or whatever. So we wanted something like that where all the kind of core stats were all at the top. So you knew, okay, well, no matter what marionette I've got, it's always going to move, you know, one, two cubes. But what's going to change it is when you come down to the weapons. And that took, you know, a really long time. And then, you know, it's doing things like working out what the cost of, you know, a gun would be, so that when you came to the special, so, you know, we did the whole thing where we actually took off the points of what that, because obviously in current Dead Zone, you know, if you've got a no rifle for your marionette, well, when you upgrade to a specialist, you're still paying for the no rifle. So then I had to work out, okay, well, a no rifle's worth 2 points, so I'll take 2 points off the off this, and then add the price of a phlogiston, or whatever it is, the flamethrower. So that took me a really, really long time. And I think when we started work, we've probably been working on it for probably maybe a year, something like that, maybe a bit over a year, actually. But actually start really starting to talk about it since not long after Escalation came out, actually, about what do we want to do.
Gotcha. Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
I will say too, like, it was something where, you know, there'd been the rumors that a third edition was coming out. And then there was obviously the big announcement. Last time we talked, there was some hints at things to come. And I won't lie, I was really surprised when I heard, and this is going to be coming out at the end of October.
I mean, that's a big thing. We, you know, we don't mess around. We wanted to get this out pretty quick. I mean, like I say, we've been in the background, we've been working on this, you know, a really, really long time, you know, getting the artwork done, getting the rules done. And yeah, we, you know, we wanted to, you know, get people excited, and it's hard to keep up the momentum, you know. Now, you know, people are used to there's so much stuff coming out all the time that you kind of have got to be quite quick. You've got to capture people's attention, say, oh boy, this is going to be fantastic, and then say, oh, and guess what, it's out in 6 weeks. Not sort of like, oh, it's out in 3 months. So I think that's really helped. So yeah, kind of getting people excited and saying, oh, it's, you know, it's out in a few weeks has really, really helped, rather than say announcing it in, you know, August, or something like that, and then people have got to wait 2 months to actually get hold of it.
And I think too, like I've been on the Kickstarter circuit, you know, in my time and everything like that. And so like, you know, finding out there this new thing's coming out, putting the you know, your money in to essentially kind of the pre-order slash invest. Some people forget it as an investment. And then having to wait like a year or two for the stuff to actually come out. So it kind of blindsided me. I'm like, whoa, wait. It just a couple of weeks.
And I think that's a big thing, actually. You know, that I think that shows kind of how well Outbreak, I mean, Outbreak sold out very quick, actually, and then Escalation, we printed double the amount of copies, and then that sold out as well. So I think what that shows you is, okay, well, the Dead Zone community is pretty active, which is good. And so that then gives us the confidence to take it to retail rather than saying to take it to Kickstarter. And I think, you know, the model range is in a pretty good place. You know, we've got some really good hard plastics in there. We like the Forge Fathers, you know, the Enforcers, Peacekeepers, all that sort of stuff. So, I think and getting it into retail and getting it into stores, because that's where you're going to see it, hopefully. Mm-hmm. If you go into your local store, you know, we'll be sending out demo packs and stuff like that to our Pathfinders and demos to the stores as well. So getting them, and that's where you're going to be going in to play at the weekend, and you'll be like, oh, you know, what's this? You know, what are you playing? So, yeah, I think it's really important, actually, to go direct to retail and pretty quick.
Definitely.
And that's direct to retail on, what, October 25th, right?
Yeah, so shipping from, that's what, because, you know, it takes a long time to get things around the world. So, it'll be leaving our warehouse, you know, kind of to be in stores that week. So that from the 25th.
That's awesome. So with that being released, you also hinted at Easy Army, which all the Kings of War players use.
Yeah.
So when is that going to be coming for Dead Zone 3rd Edition?
So that, well, touch wood, because obviously things like this never always go to plan, but that should be ready alongside the launch.
Excellent.
So, you know, a list builder. Now, it's interesting, actually. A list builder has been something that people have been asking for a long time, and we had the community doing Battlescribe. There were other people doing spreadsheets and all that kind of stuff. I think that was partly because list building in second edition was actually quite tricky. It wasn't as easy. You know, you had to, like we were talking about a bit earlier, you had to take your specialist, then you had to go, okay, well, now I'm going to add these weapons. And then I've got to work out what the new VPs are, what the new points are. I need to know what gun it's got and things like that. And I think actually that was quite complicated. So I think a list builder was really important to try and help you do that. I mean, I can remember one of the first times I played with my stunt bot, took it on, you know, I'd worked out all my points. I was like, oh, great, I can get my stunt bot in. I actually started playing and I realized I'd equipped it with no weapons because it wasn't clear. So it wasn't clear how to do it. So, but I think actually now with the new presentation of the stats, it'll be a lot easier. But yeah, I do think that having an easy army one, so you can do things like add the items and that sort of stuff will be a lot better. And also it's really handy for tournaments. And you know, hopefully we'll see a lot more tournaments in third edition.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, it definitely. You know, we spoke a little earlier about, you know, when you have to do updates for stats or FAQs or errata or things like that online living, you know, official list builder, I think is a great way. A lot of other systems, like people would talk to us before about how it's like, man, it's really nice to have this resource handy where it's always kept up to date and everything like that. And I definitely agree. Like, I think that's, it makes it a lot more flexible for you guys to, you know, put together those little updates and make them available immediately for people. If there are problems, I guess.
And you're right. And I think also, you know, like I say, it will help us when we come to do new stuff as well. So, you know, if we do want to do when we have Marauders, because, you know, there will, you know, hope. Well, yeah, there will be some new units that aren't currently in the list for that one. So, you know, we'll have to get those out somehow. So, yeah, we can do that through Easy Army. And I think I almost also mentioned as well is that a few people have asked, you know, we've taken out some of the mercs for this one. And that was mainly because we took out some of those ones that were really hard to get and we can't make anymore. Because there's nothing worse than, you know, you pick up a game, you see a model in the book and you're like, oh, wow, this looks cool. And then you try and track it down and it's impossible. But on the other hand, we're conscious that, you know, Dead Zone fans that have been around since first edition will have those models at home. So what we'll be doing is, that, you know, those will be like legacy miniatures that will add to, you know, something like Easy Army. So if you are you know, if you are at home, you can play with them, and then it's up to a TO whether they want to include those mercs when you're playing as well.
Sure. Speaking of some of the other updates, especially with boxes getting delivered, the new starter set we touched on it earlier is going to be GCPS and Veerman, but you guys are also rolling out some really, really nice looking updates for the terrain kits.
Yeah, that was a big thing actually, and that comes from something that I've wanted to do for a while in Dead Zone is move the storyline along, I guess, if that makes sense. So, you know, when obviously Dead Zone First Edition came out, it was very much the focus on the plague. You know, you'd get these planets where the plague would, you'd have a plague outbreak, the planet would be locked down, and then obviously all these strike teams would come in and start causing trouble. But I think, you know, that theoretically, yes, that's been going on for a long time. So either the enforcers are really bad at their job,
or the rebellion is finally getting the news out that actually matters.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. I'll leave you two to fight that one out. But what I thought about doing is, you know, what we want to do is sort of move it along to say, well, actually, containment protocols can be declared for any sort of reason, and it could be a Veerman nest could have exploded, a bit like what we touch on in this one, or you know, the Nameless. You know, they're trying to, obviously, a bit like when we had with Starfall that campaign, they were trying to aquaform a planet. So I think we're trying to move that storyline on a bit to say that, well, it's not always in ruined cities or ruined forts. You know, the sort of scenery you're seeing in this one is meant to be sort of Magnetar City, where there's literally just been an outbreak. So all the neon signs are sort of still operating at this point, and you know, some people might still be trying to, you know, scratch out their, you know, a life in these dead zones. So I think that was another thing to sort of have a bit more living, sort of breathing cities, rather than these sort of, oh yeah, you know, containment protocols. We're in lockdown. There's been a plague outbreak. Let's you know, the city's in pieces.
Absolutely, it's so exciting from not only like a lore perspective and like you're saying, kind of that evolution of like, well, these things are getting closer and closer, you know, mm-hmm. to the second sphere and the first sphere even. So we've seen some of that that kind of creativity already, like in the writing competition that we've had going on this year, where I remember one standout story was, you know, basically a father and his kid navigating a recently locked down planet where there are still plenty of people around.
Yeah.
But that number is dwindling quickly.
Yeah, yeah, and that's totally the thing. You know, it's like what I like about the sort of, you know, the Warpath universe in general is that you can sort of, you know, I can imagine sort of living there. You know, I can imagine I'm sitting down on a Saturday night to watch, you know, an Overdrive game or a Dreadball game on the TV or whatever the equivalent of the TV is. And, you know, I can kind of imagine how everyone's living there in some ways, I guess, whereas some other sci-fi universes, I kind of struggle to see, well, where's everyone live? You know, what do they do? What
how
do
they do on average Saturday Joe? Night? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, are they down the pub on a Friday or whatever? So I think, yeah, I like the fact that in Dead Zone we've sort of got that sort of realism, and I think hopefully this terrain will sort of help to bring that to life even more.
Absolutely.
So any other chance? Well, there's so much, because it's like, okay, so we have the starter box coming, we have out for pre-order is, so you have a couple different bundles. Like a big bundle that gives you all the extra scenery pieces, right?
Yeah, so we've done a couple of bundles on the website. And the reason for that is to try and cater to the different people, really. So, you know, if you're totally just starting out on Dead Zone, we've got a starter bundle there, which is with the neoprene mat, some objectives and some tokens. And then if you're, because once you play Dead Zone, and we've really, what we have done in that starter set is dramatically sort of increase the amount of terrain you get compared to what you got in the previous second edition. And that's because really, you know, the terrain is just as important as the two factions playing on the board.
Absolutely.
You want
third opponent.
Yes, exactly. It's almost PvP versus, you know, person versus person versus terrain. And I think what we wanted to do is that when you've played your first game in a sort of like quite densely packed urban environment, is it gives you a good idea of how Dead Zone plays. It's not just, you know, oh, that's another clear shot. Oh, that's another clear shot, because there isn't enough stuff to hide around. So, yeah, we've got another bundle on there, which is just gives you double the amount of terrain. And that's so you can really, I mean, I think that should be enough for, you know, any, unless you're a bit like mad like Ronnie, who loves terrain. I think that should give you enough scenery there to keep you going. And then we've also got the veterans bundle as well on the website. And that's, you know, that's for, you know, people like us. You already have all the strike teams, have a neoprene mat, have loads of scenery painted up, and just want to get all the new stuff with one click. So we're doing that. And it's interesting, actually, what's really encouraging is to see how well the starter set stuff is doing, because that's, you know, that theoretically is new players. You know, that is people who have never played Dead Zone. Mm-hmm. They've seen third edition and they're like, okay, yeah, now's the time to give it a go.
I did want to chime in and confirm that we are mad like Ronnie. We like our Dead Zone boards just chock full.
I think that was nice with, you know, with all those, you know, with all the accessories now, even with like the little block, you know, with the little signs that poke out of buildings, you can really change not only the feel, but also the line of sight. You know, you can cut down those kind of easily lanes where you can get clear shots and things. You can break up line of sight quite easily with these new bits, like the awning, for example, on a building. And it's interesting because that does really changes the dynamics of a game, and makes you have to reposition a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Hey. It's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
Speaking of line of sight...
Oh, I knew the elephant in the room was coming up at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you brought it up, so...
No, that's fine.
It's good to bite the bullet, and so to speak. And so there are going to be some new changes to line of sight. Now, previously it had been essentially anywhere on the model you could draw a line of sight from. Now, we understand like the intent behind that is, oh, you know, you go from like the head of the person or the arm or something like that. But what had happened over time is people found is like, well, if I have a model that has like a really long gun, I can stick it around corners and both to draw a line of sight where it might not necessarily really exist. And also kind of on the flip side is, oh, I can hide my little Veerman tail around the corner and leave the rest of the model completely exposed, but that doesn't draw a clear shot. So with the new addition, If you want to kind of elaborate on, we kind of have more of would you call it like a cylinder system?
Yeah. So basically things, you're right. You've summed it up perfectly well there. The problems we had with second edition. What I will say is that the beauty of the line of sight rules in second edition is they were really, really easy to understand. You know, if you were a new player, you would say, okay, you can see that model, you can shoot it.
Yeah.
The problem is when you kind of got into, say, like more tournament situations or more tactical players, is it became really gamey. It became to the point where it could be frustrating, and it could be you would just lose that sense of immersion. You know, like you're saying there, you can see a Veerman, you can see pretty much the entire model apart from the very tip of its tail. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's no longer a clear shot because you can't see its tail. And you would get people being really gamey and tucking the barrels of their gun into terrain, you know, so you couldn't see it. So that sort of thing.
Rick.
And I think sometimes you'd actually find that would actually really... what it meant was there was quite a steep learning curve for a new player versus an older player.
There are a lot of gotcha kind of moments where it's like, wait, that's, you can do that?
Yeah. And I think that's, and I personally, I really don't like gotcha moments in games. I really don't like that where you feel like you're being cheated from something that was, you didn't know about, or it was the game was kind of acting against you. So, I mean, so changing line of sight was a really big one. You know, that was something that was probably the one that we argued about the most. You know, Ronnie was adamant that he didn't want to change it at all, because, you know, he likes very simple, like, okay, you do this, you know, you see it, you can shoot it. But I think gradually over time, you know, you're explaining to him, well, these are the problems you're facing. And I think because, you know, he's not playing in necessarily really tactical stuff. You know, he's just playing in the office and having like a fun game.
Right.
So he's not necessarily victim to these really gamey sort of beardy moments. But when you're explaining what's happening sometimes at tournaments and things, you're a bit like, he started to see it and go like, right, okay. So then we went through all different ways of like how to change it. You know, we were like, oh, you know, is it like to do with the base or to, you know, whatever, and we went through lots of different thoughts of how to do it, but in the end we decided that probably the most simple one is like we've got, and say that, okay, well, elements hanging over the edge of the base, or sort of elements that are overhead height that aren't part of the torso, so like the fins on the Spectra, that sort of thing, or aerials on the you know, coming off a model, don't count. And that just hopefully will then avoid those gamey moments where I'm tucking the tail of my Veerman around the corner, and so you can't get a clear shot. Likewise, I think there was, because there were even people interpreting the rules that you could draw a line of sight from your tail and shoot and that sort of stuff, which is really like super gamey. So we've taken that. So what we've done is we've now saying that, okay, well, we've got this new line of sight rule, which kind of ignores that overhang in the base. And I know for some people it's sacrilege, you know, but I think once people get used to it, first of all, it doesn't actually come up as much as you'd think, you know, right. I think, because what you realize is, yeah, I can actually just move slightly to the right or slightly to the left and I can see all the model or whatever. Occasionally it might come up, but I think after a few games, you don't, you almost forget what the old ones were like anyway. You know, it's like not as bad as I think some people may think. And we make a point in the book of saying, look, for your first few games, if you just want to get used to the rules, so you can shoot wherever you want, you know, you can go and if you can see it, you can shoot it. And to be honest, you know, if you play it and you prefer that way, well, just carry on playing like that. You know, we're not going to send the enforcers round to your house and make sure you play in the exact same way. But I do think for more competitive play that it's, you know, it'll be a really good change. And actually, I mentioned this on one of the blogs. I found it made gameplay quicker because you weren't spending ages really precisely tucking that little bit of your gun around the corner.
Just get my tail around that corner.
Yeah. And so actually for me, it was speeding up games. And I play a lot of games with my kids. And, you know, they were getting used to it. And so I don't think it's kind of as difficult as it may initially seem. It is an improvement. And I think it will, you know, it will help the game. I think it'll also help the game attract new players as well. Because it's actually a form of line of sight that you see in games. I think Legion's got something similar. And obviously Infinity's a bit similar as that. So hopefully we'll, you know, maybe attract some of those guys over as well.
No, absolutely. And I think too, like, a lot of people kind of immediately jump to those like exceptions, right? Like, it's like, oh, you know, but I could do this in this very specific situation. And you'll probably still run into those. But
I'm 100% expecting, you know, we'll have, I mean, we already had, you know, on Fanatics, there was quite a lively thread, let's say. Yesterday, which was about it, and I totally get it, and we'll totally get those things. But the thing was, you know, the second edition, there were really odd things as well that would happen. Like we saw, I mean, there was a great example of the picture I posted on the blog yesterday, which was, you know, the plague model with its big, you know, a huge sword, right? A massive model, but a tiny bit of its sword tucked behind a piece of rubble. And you're like, oh yeah, it's not a clear shot. And you're like, come on. I can see the whole, I can see the whole base. I can see the whole model apart from that one bit. And you're saying that's not a clear shot. I mean, come off it. And that's the sort of thing I think when you'd get people just like, it's sort of going, no way, I, you know, I'm not going to take it. And it does allow us more opportunities to do slightly more dynamic stuff. And because I think there was always that sort of kind of habit to really tuck your models in. Do you know what I mean?
Like you're afraid to expand and do that hobby part where you're customizing your models too much because, well, that'll be too far over to one side and I need it all right here.
Yes. Yeah. So I think I think the Spectre is probably a good example of that. Lovely, really lovely model. But I think some people were always a bit worried about using it because it was so high. So you could see it. I mean, that's because it's a big model, but also because you could see it. You could see the fins over the top. So it'll be
pretty much anywhere on the battlefield in most cases.
So what would be interesting is to see whether some of those models that maybe were sitting on the shelf actually now start to come out and get some time on the table, which I hope so, because there's some, you know, some really great models in the Dead Zone range, and we'll have to see.
It's kind of like the difference between like the Maw Beast that's kind of on all fours versus the Maw Beast that is on two legs, right? Because it's much more higher, a lot easier target. But no, I also think like from a competitive standpoint too, like really having that spelled out. I think is a great step because any kind of ambiguity, you know, favors an interpretation for the day. Whereas like, okay, it's your base to the head, and it's like within that cone there, that sphere, or cylinder, go through all the shapes, I guess. like as long as it's within that. You know, it counts. And I think you're absolutely right. I think new players, you know, removes a lot more of those gotcha moments where, you know, coming into the game, you're not thinking about it. You're just placing your guy. Okay, I'm hidden behind, you know, this little bit of rubble, and I'm going to shoot this guy, which, you know, I can see down the lane. But wait, I don't. Because clear shot was always one of those things I absolutely loved about Dead Zone. Was it kind of flipped cover on its head, right? Because so many games were, okay, if there's a cover, if you're behind cover, you have to do this math of like, all right, is it 20% cover? Okay, you're a -2, you know, that kind of thing. Like I think D&D used to have rules like that. And so to really kind of have it be, no, it's the opposite. It's like you always have cover if unless you're way out in the open.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited for the rule. I think you're absolutely right. I think once people are already kind of playing this way without thinking about it. And so now it's just, okay, remove the little bit of the gamey pieces that we've maybe habits that we've kind of developed. And I think it'll be right at home.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, the big thing for me was, you know, when we sort of went to some of the playtesters originally and said, this is what we're doing. A bit like we've seen, there was sort of universal outcry, like, oh my God, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? But I think the really good thing for me was when you'd get people who were, you know, quite adamantly against any changes. And then I'd get a message pop up going, oh yeah, actually, this is actually better. So I think, yeah, that's the thing. I think, oh, people are like, okay, this actually works. So I think, that was a nice moment. And, it, you know, in all fairness, if people had come back and gone, this is a load of crap, then we just would have gone and done, you know, looked at something else or kept it the same. So I think the fact that we were getting really positive feedback is shows why we've done it. So don't worry, everyone. It's all fine.
It's all good. So one of the other big changes is command dice. Like, command dice as a whole are staying the same, but they have an extra feature, which I'm super excited about because, you know, you play the plague and you're a melee army. What do you do with this? Dice, it doesn't help you at all.
Yeah, so now we've got it that you can kind of sacrifice one of your command dice for a reroll, And that was to make sure that, like you were saying there, Rich, that no dice is defunct. In the, like you said, this again, that's not necessarily a gotcha moment. This is sort of when you feel a bit useless. You know, you're a bit like, oh God, you know, you want every dice to count, I think. And it's something that we saw in Dreadball, actually. Dreadball was very similar, that you would get the cards and, you know, say if you're a Marauder team, like, you know, I would play Marauders, you know, when you get a strike, when you get a card that's, you know, striker only action, you're like, oh, fantastic, what am I going to do with this? So actually adding the reroll in there was really good. And, yeah, I think doing the command dice in this way, you know, having that little reroll is really cool. And and what's great is I really love in games when you've got decision points, you know, and, you know, sometimes you'll have your command dice there and there'll be dice that you could potentially all use, but you just slightly mess up a roll and you're like, ugh, okay, do I burn one of my dice or two, you know, whatever, do I burn one of these dice just to get this shot off? So I like that. It's going to give people a bit of agonizing as they decide what to do.
It's such a subtle change, but you're absolutely right that it adds this other layer of strategy and tactics where it's like, do I burn it or do I save it? And like Rick's saying, it's like, it makes a great option for those dice that are like completely useless to you or just so situational. It's like, I'm not going to run into this round. Right. Yeah. So it's like, I now have a little bit of I can make something happen. I can make a, you know, luck go my way, hopefully.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, something like that, even though it's quite a small change, I don't think that isn't something we would have done if we were doing a 2.5, because actually it's a new, it's a totally new rule. So I think actually having a new addition means we can do slight tweaks like that. And another, you know, there's a small tweak, which we haven't talked about yet, but we'll talk about in the blog, is just how damage is calculated and things like that. We've just sort of streamlined that process as well. So the way it was worded, you know, always even used to get me with the whole potential damage stuff and things like that. But now we just say, well, compare the results, you know, a bit more like we've got in Vanguard or even in sort of like a Dreadball, you know, compare the results and the difference in successes is the amount of wounds or whatever. So we've got a blog on that next week, but we'll go into more detail. But that's just a way for new players, is just to clear up some of the confusing elements of the existing rules.
Absolutely.
So what's your new faction going to be, Rob?
Reds, well, obviously.
I mean, so I've actually got strike teams for every faction, apart from Plague, what else have I got? Oh, Mazen Labs. I haven't got Mazen Labs. So
you
don't yet? No, not yet. So I think what I'm going to do is we're all sort of choosing which factions we're going to do at work, and I've chosen to do Mazen Labs only because I'm going to do a display board that's based in the Mazen Labs canteen.
Ooh. Oh, that's awesome!
So I really enjoyed writing the Maison bulletins that were coming out in the run up to third.
They're so much fun to read.
Yeah. So I mean, if I had enough time, I'd be doing Maison bulletins all the time, but they take quite a while. So I was inspired by the cafeteria being named the safest place to work. So I'm going to hopefully do something based around that.
Oh, that's exciting.
John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
Speaking of the bulletins and everything like that, like it definitely, you know, gets those energies going towards, you know, thinking of like more story and more campaign potential and possibilities. Obviously, you guys are just getting third edition out the door, but is that something we might see a bit more of in the future, kind of like our old Nexus Psi and Infestation, where we have kind of a set campaign that we follow?
Yeah, so Actually, we've just done the. I think, I mean, generally, background is a big thing for third, because one of the things when we were going through and reviewing the book, reviewing second edition, and going, okay, what would we change? One of the things we really realised is it doesn't set the world, it doesn't set the scene at all, particularly. I think there's one page where it kind of briefly explains a bit about the GCPS, and then you've got a bit when you look at each faction. But actually, there's not a lot, you know, there isn't a lot that tells you about the different places in the GCPS. So one thing we have done in this book is including a lot more lore, a lot more pictures and that sort of thing, which I think will just help, hopefully, to inspire people, you know, because we often get quite asked, you know, oh, where do these guys come from, or you know, what's their motives? So I think having a bit more explanation for that will be good. In terms of campaigns, we've just done the Kings of War campaign, which Kieran set up the website for. And once Kieran's had a bit of a rest from doing the Kings of War one, the plan is to do one for Dead Zone as well. So I think we're looking at that maybe early next year, something like that. So I think what I'd really like to do is do it, say, in the run-up to Firefight or something like that, Firefight coming out, is you have a Dead Zone campaign, which might, obviously, we've got in the rule book, we've got the kind of story of Magnetar Central, and Magnetar, you know, the Magnus, the planet Magnus. So maybe it'd be quite good to see what happens there and see who ends up getting kind of control of that. So, I think the plan will be, hopefully, you know, I say this with the best will in the world, it will be to do an online campaign every year for Dead Zone. And that will move the story along, potentially introduce new units. Might not necessarily always be a new book, like a new campaign book, but it will be, you know, we've got the methods now to share, you know, new rules online or new units, you know, even through Easy Army or through the website. But yeah, I think we want to sort of keep the community active with new stuff, I think, all the time.
That's so exciting.
New stuff and lore. It all helps create this world that, I mean, obviously, the three of us love this world. I don't think there's enough goblins in it, and I'm pretty sure Rob can back me up on that.
I agree. I won't talk about goblins, but I do keep getting... I keep getting told by Ronnie I've had enough goblins in Kings of War, so don't expect to see goblins coming into Dead Zone anytime soon, sadly.
Well, that's okay. I now have a reason to have a fight dice for my goblin sniper. It's my reroll.
I just hope the events in the Magnetar city, you know, Central, don't affect the Dreadball circuit at all, because that would be a tragedy.
Well, luckily they're on the most of those are on different planets, so hopefully that'll be fine. It just I won't tell you what happens in the story, but yeah, Dreadball's mentioned actually in that.
Oh, nice.
Something worse than having a Dreadball game get ruined by a Dead Zone breakout.
Yes, yeah, that's it.
Yep. Though it makes for a very fun Dead Zone match.
It does.
If you haven't, Rob, maybe I should send you the we'd come up with a couple of scenarios ourselves just to play around with asymmetric play a little bit that were really fun to play.
I think I saw this was just like Dead Zone and Dreadball combined into one almost.
Yeah.
So the first couple rounds of Dreadball, and then it was a random roll to see if a breakout happens. And sure enough, it got kind of crazy.
Yeah. No, it sounds sounds like it would do pretty quick.
But no, this is third edition is looking so amazing. And I did want to do a quick shout out to whoever did the video work, like for the kind of announcements and everything like that, with all the graphics and everything like that. Like,
oh, that was Kyle.
You did a fantastic job. It just shows such a great level of polish and presentation of it. Like, it was so exciting to see that trailer come out. So great work there.
Yeah, that was good. Now, I really enjoyed it, because we had that little short teaser Which is the message from Magnetar, and then obviously that was a good little tee up for that one. So and we'll have plenty more videos coming out about how to plays. Because that's one thing we never really did for second edition. I don't think we never had all the proper how to plays and and that sort of stuff. So I think it'd be really important to actually have those for this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, before we let you go, Rob, do you have any other little tidbits or anything you want to throw in there at us?
Ooh, little tidbits. What, you want some top secret stuff, do you?
Yes.
Some top secret stuff. Well.
And hopefully the transmission doesn't get interrupted this time and it cuts you off before the secrets are revealed.
Yeah, well, let me tell you about what's happening with the...
We're losing you a little bit.
And then there'll definitely be new hard plastic. And then we'll do that after. And that'll be...
Wow, that's so exciting.
Sadly, I can't repeat any of that. But hopefully you caught it.
I'm pretty sure. I'll check the tape afterwards and just make sure.
Do some adjustments. We might be able to pull it out.
I think generally I'm really, really, really proud of third edition. I think the people who've all worked in it, the playtesters, obviously the rules committee, it's been great. And even like the artists doing all the art, I think it's the book that Dead Zone sort of deserves. When we're using it as an excuse to redo the entire range, new packaging, new scenery, all that kind of stuff, so that when people are in a shop, they're like, "Whoa, what's this? I need to give this a go." So I think the best thing that everyone who listens to this can do is really go out there and get down to their local club and say, "Look, you need to give this a go. This is the best sci-fi skirmish game you've probably never played, but let's give it a go." And I think potentially, this will help us push Dead Zone into a whole new audience, and which can only do, which can only be good for the future of it. So the better it does, the more new models we can do, even the more hard plastics we can do. So get out there and get playing is mainly my message.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to do this interview, Rob. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. You guys keep up the good work as well.
And
we try.
And we really can't wait to get our hands on third edition and to get back to gaming and try out all the new goodies. That's an awkward rap. Yeah. Cool.
Just too bad that the Michigan GT is at the beginning of October.
I think that, we'll always get some timing problems, but I think, it's just a good excuse to organize another event.
Well, and I've already organized two demos.
Cool.
I need to, this weekend, actually, I'm going to be hitting up some of the game shops near me and seeing if they're doing in-store play.
Mm.
So far, they haven't yet. But there is one that's a little drive away for me I believe is doing in-store play there was a time, like in 2020, I lived in one city that had a game shop just start, like at the event of COVID. I never got to go in and do a demo. I wanted to. And then it's like a week before I moved, they're like, "Hey, we're doing in-store play now." I'm like, come on.